Grace to you and peace from God the Father and from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God, which we will consider today, is recorded in St. John's Gospel, chapter 8, reading verses 31 and 32. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." These are the words. Heavenly Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. In Jesus' name, dear fellow redeemed, when I was around 10 years old, I got a record album for my birthday, Johnny Cash Live at Folsom Prison. It was from my grandma, of all people. It wasn't grandma's sort of music, but I had asked her for it, and I really liked it. Being that it's recorded live in a prison, it's no surprise that most of the songs have to do with being in prison and with wanting to get out of prison. One of the songs has this line: "There's a lot of strange men in cell block 10, but the strangest of them all was a friend of mine who spent his time just staring at the wall. So all that man could think about was somehow getting over the wall and to freedom. And the warden walked by and said, 'Son, don't try. I'd hate to see you fall. There is no doubt they'll carry you out if you ever touch that wall.'" And that's exactly what happened. It's a rough song, but it speaks to a universal longing, especially among those who are held captive by an oppressor or who are confined within prison walls. To those people, freedom is not just a word or a vague concept. It's something alive and worth contending for and maybe dying for. Jesus said, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The truth that we learn from Jesus' word is that he has set us free from something worse than any prison or occupying force or tyrannical government. In Jesus Christ, you and I are made free from our sins and from death itself and from eternal punishment in hell. How? By receiving his truth. At that time, Jesus' audience reacted to his offer the same way that many react today. They took it as an insult. What was he talking about? He wasn't talking just about political freedom or personal freedom. Jesus was speaking of freedom from a more terrible bondage, that is, spiritual bondage. In the words following this, he told his audience, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin." Jesus here says that the one who sins is a slave. Now, naturally, any free person would bristle under that label, slave. Who's he talking about? He's talking about us. The apostle wrote, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." The psalmist said, "All have turned aside. They've together become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one." And so God's word paints all of humanity under the same brush, sinner. And if sinner, Jesus says, slave to sin. And that's a harder bondage than the kind which holds a person captive physically. And unless we are released from this spiritual slavery of sin, it would hold us down in chains forever. But as we mentioned, those who are enslaved to sin often want to deny it. Rather, they insist they are really free, more free than others. They're free from the rigid constraints of society's morals. They're free from the guilt their parents or their Sunday school teacher or their pastor laid on them. But the Bible teaches that since the fall, the human will by nature lies in bondage to sin. To the Romans, St. Paul wrote, "We know that the law is spiritual, but I'm unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do. What I hate, I do." It's a hideous trick of Satan to persuade slaves that they're actually free. He lulls us into thinking that we have freedom when, in fact, we live in a spiritual dungeon. We know that in this world, freedom is something that often must be fought for, and it often comes at the price of a war in which people fight and get hurt, sometimes die. Jesus Christ fought the war, and he won it for us. That's the truth of his gospel. He was killed on the cross, bearing all of our sins, wounded for each one of us. He there poured out his own life's blood, and his victory on our behalf was declared by his resurrection from the dead. Now through faith in him, we are truly free, free from the dominance of our sins, free from the fear of dying, free from the sentence of hell. How is this precious freedom delivered to us so that it becomes our own, and we really are free people? Again, Jesus said, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." It is through the word that our Lord Jesus comes to us, forgiving us our sins, assuring us of our everlasting freedom. He says that we should abide in his word. To abide in his word means that we should hear it often, that we want to study it and think about it, to believe it, and be willing to contend for it. Those who abide in his word are connected to him, and they enjoy great blessings here on earth, peace with God every day, strength to get through all the troubles we face. And when they die, they enter into the joy of his direct presence above. You and I have been set free by the truth, and that truth has brought us to faith in Jesus Christ and made us his own disciples. Believing that, we have made it over the wall. May God grant us the grace to always appreciate this freedom that is ours in Christ. Cling for dear life to his assurance that through him you have full forgiveness for all of your sins. Abide in the truth of Scripture, which gives you a freedom which no earthly wall could ever keep you from having. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forevermore. Amen.